You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Foolproof. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Now, maybe you haven't had an experience quite like that, but I'm sure that each and every one of us have run into a difficult person, and maybe even under our breath, we would say, now there's an idiot, all right? And so we're glad that you're here. We're in this series called Foolproof, dealing with difficult people and sometimes idiots. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to share with you just a couple of opportunities that we have across our campuses before I dive into this today. The first one is Seeds is coming up. And this is part of our missions. And we want to be able to make a difference, not only in our backyard, but we want to be able to make a difference around the world. And this is one of the ways in which you and I can partner together and to be able to do that. And by the way, if you have a family, if you have kids, I can't urge you enough to be there. Sign up. Because this is an incredible way to be able to teach them generosity. Now, if I would ask you as a mom or a dad, do you want your kids to be generous? You would say, absolutely, absolutely. Well, that has to be taught. And so this is a great way to be able to teach them that and to be able to give them a huge vision that they can make a difference in the world. Now, here's the good news. All right, this costs money, but because of your faithfulness and your consistent giving to I'm In, it's already covered. And so all we need is for you to be there and to bring your family, maybe bring your small group, maybe bring a neighbor, and we're going to have an incredible time, and you're going to make a world of difference. Now, speaking of I'm In, I just want to thank you for your consistent, generous giving, and I just can't thank you enough. We're in the plans for each of our campuses. You're going to be learning more and more about that. Plans take time, but we're getting it out. We're going to kick it out. And so be looking for those and just continue to be consistent in your giving. You're making a world of difference. I want to encourage you to go to the website for I'm In. You can do that. It's in your weekly as well. And just go there. If you don't know anything about it, you'll find lots of information that will help you and give you direction on how you can be a part of that. And so I trust that you will do that. So we're in this series called Foolproof, dealing with idiots and other difficult people. Here's what I want you to understand today. A home cannot be healed if the people in it aren't healed. You see, people make up our homes. And if the people in the home isn't healed, there's no way that the home's going to be healed. And it's hard to admit that you need to be healed if you can't admit that you have an issue. You see, whatever you and I do not acknowledge, we do not address. And it's hard to admit that you have an issue when the issue that you have seems very normal to you. Maybe what's going on in your home is the same thing that happened in the home that you grew up in, and that's all you know. And I just want to suggest something to you today. Maybe what's happening in your home isn't normal. Maybe God has something more for you than that. And I just wonder, for many of us, if not all of us, how much life might be different and might be better if we would change our normal. If we would just change our normal. If we would just be honest with ourselves and to be able to say, hey, you know what? You're talking about me. You've described me. Because I know last week when we looked at some characteristics, and we're going to look at some here today, you were probably thinking of other people. Y'all right on that one? You had these lists of names going through your mind. And that's okay. But you also have to make sure that you're not acting like a fool. You know, a friend of mine was telling me about giving a book away. It's called Boundaries. And by the way, you can pick up one of these today for $10. And I encourage you to do so. But he gave it away to his friend. And his friend was hoping to learn how to deal with his mother-in-law. All right? And he ended up saying, you know what? This book wrecked my life. And he said, though it helped me deal with my mother-in-law, you know what ultimately it did? It changed me. It changed me. And he said, for the first time, I had a new perspective on myself and how I was relating not only to God, but to people around me. And so I want to encourage you to be able to pick up one of these books today. It's only for $10, and I'm sure it's going to be a big, big help, and it'll help support everything else that I'm saying here today. Now, here's our goal as we look at this. Your goal cannot be to have the fool change. Whoever the fool is in your life, whether it's your boss, whether it's your husband, whether it's your wife, whether it's your mom or your dad or your friend or your cousin or whoever, your goal cannot be to have the fool change. Your goal must be to find the freedom that allows you to be the person God intended you to be, no matter what choices your fool makes. That's the whole idea behind what we're talking about. So if you're thinking, Dwight, tell me how I can change the fool in my life. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And so we need to be able to come back and recognize what a fool looks like, what's the characteristics, so that you and I will know how to be able to relate and what we need to be able to do. Because a fool has a very distinctive, consistent way in which they think. And Proverbs gives us a list of characteristics, okay, and by the way, I would encourage you to read a proverb a day of what you and I can do when we begin to recognize them and how we should respond. Now, this is so important because it's going to give you tremendous insight because your thinking needs to change. And so let's look at some basic traits of a fool. And you can follow along in your note-taking guide that we have for you today. Now, here's what I want us to understand the first thing, and that is this. At the core, okay, at the core of a fool is basically selfishness. Foolish thinking is always selfish thinking. It's always selfish thinking. And as I lead us through this, you're going to begin to realize that and understand that. So let's look at some of these, all right? Here's the first one. Fools are always right. Fools are always right. They're self-reliant and they're self-centered. They believe that their thoughts are always true. Their actions are always acceptable. They just believe that they're always right. Proverbs would tell us this. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. And so what happens is a fool is always right in his eyes or her eyes, and they refuse counsel from someone else who might have a different perspective, who might have a different take. And so what we have to understand is if you're a person or if you're dealing with somebody who's always right, they're demonstrating a characteristic of a fool. Now, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, he said this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the fool despises wisdom and instruction. See, the reason why we don't ask for help, the reason why we're not vulnerable with people is because we're prideful. We want to prove to other people that we're self-sufficient, that we can make it on our own. And so we would never want anybody to know that we don't understand or that we don't know what's going on. By the way, that's why people get overwhelmed all the time. I share with our staff all the time. The reason why you're overwhelmed is because you're full of pride. You won't ask for help because you're afraid that somehow you're going to convey that you're not right. And that's just not good. It's just not good. So if you're overwhelmed as a mom, maybe as a father, maybe as a leader. Maybe you just need to say, hey, you know what? I need some help. I'm not getting it right. Here's the second thing, and that is this. Fools put unqualified confidence in themselves. They put unqualified confidence in themselves. Here's what Proverbs has to say. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. And so a fool basically believes that they know what they need to know. And everything that they know is all they need to know. So again, they never inquire of someone outside their circle. They never would ask for help. Now, this doesn't mean that it's this way in every area of their life. At work, they may ask for help. But for their marriage, I don't need any counseling. Are you kidding me? You might need counseling, but I don't need counseling. Our marriage is just fine. And so what happens is they put unqualified confidence in themselves. And it doesn't mean necessarily in all of life. It can be in specific areas of life. Here's the third one. Fools are deceitful. Fools are deceitful. Proverbs 14:8 says this, the folly of fools is deception. The folly of fools is deception. Here's what I want you to get, and I want you to listen very, very carefully, especially if you're single and you're female. All right? I got your attention? I hope so. All right? Fools hide their true nature until they get what they want. What you see is not what you get. And so what happens is they will bait you, and they will wait until the hook gets right here. And then they will go like this, and they will pull you in. Let me tell you what that is. It's perverted intimacy. You're thinking you're getting to know them, but you're not getting to know them. By the way, let me tell you, this is an unbelievable reason not to have premarital sex. You're a fool if you do. Because what will happen is you will have perverted intimacy. And in having that, what happens is you will be deceived. You see, healthy intimacy thrives in the environment of vulnerability that allows a person to be who they are at all times. And what I see in our world today, I see this happening all the time. I hear one story after one story after one story. He's not the guy I dated. No kidding. He's a fool. He's deceptive. And so one of the ways in which you deal with that is you have healthy boundaries. Y'all okay? Hey, dads, you need to be talking to your daughters about this. Moms, you need to be talking to your sons about this. All right, otherwise they will be fools. They will deceive people. And so fools are deceptive. They don't show their true colors until they get what they want. And then what happens is now you got something on your hands that you wish you didn't have. Here's another one, all right? Fools are self-satisfied. Fools are self-satisfied. Here's what I mean by that. When a fool gets what they want, they relax. After we say I do, I caught her. I got her. I can relax. I can chill. I'm satisfied. I don't have to work on the marriage. I don't have to continue to grow. I got the job. I'm in the door. I'm satisfied. I don't have to work anymore. I don't have to grow. I don't have to develop myself. And so when a fool gets what they want, they relax. They chill. Here's what Proverbs has to say. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them. Check this out. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. And so what happens is you become satisfied in your marriage. Guess what? It destroys it. You become satisfied in your career. Guess what? It destroys it. And so a fool becomes satisfied. They're confident. that, you know what, everything's going to be okay because I've fooled everybody. But it doesn't work that way. How about this one right here? Fools protect themselves. Fools protect themselves. And here's what I mean by that. In Proverbs, it records this. A fool is arrogant and careless. And here's how a fool protects himself. They're arrogant, meaning that they will cross any boundaries to get whatever they want to protect themselves. They will cross boundaries sexually. They'll cross boundaries morally. They'll cross boundaries financially. They'll cross boundaries in the area of character to get whatever they want because the fool is arrogant. And so what happens is they're going to protect themselves no matter what. And what happens is they end up becoming careless. And what they think is right, and so if they think that it's right, it really doesn't matter how we get it. And the ends justifies the means. And so what you have here is they protect themselves because they won't allow themselves to be challenged. They won't surround themselves with other strong people who will push back on them and be able to challenge their way of thinking, because to do so would rock their world. Because the fact of the matter is, fools are insecure. And so they're out to protect themselves, not to be vulnerable with people. How about this one right here? Fools are their own judge and jury. Fools are their own judge and jury. And basically it works like this. If you're hurt, that's your problem. Suck it up. Okay? They're innocent in doing all wrong. And so they're the judge and they're the jury, and they say, hey, you know what? What I did wasn't wrong. And so I have nothing to ask for forgiveness for. I have nothing to apologize for. I have nothing to make right. Here's what Solomon would say about that. Fools mock at making amends for sin. What? Apologize? Apologize for what? What did I do? What did I say? You hurt the person. You belittled them. You mocked them. And what he says here is, you know what? Fools mock at making amends. And so what happens is they just want to pick up where they left off. Like nothing happened. No words were exchanged. No pain was inflicted. And so they see no reason to apologize. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you what you need to hear. How about this one? Fools are angry. Fools are angry. And this can be a burst of hot anger or just something that's very, very subtle. It can be icy and it can be isolated. Here's what Proverbs 29:11 says. By the way, are you all okay? I hope so, okay? This is disturbing, isn't it? It's convicting. Listen, I just want you to know, everything I'm talking about today is in this room. Everything I'm talking about is in this room. And it's a part, probably, of all of us. But here's what Proverbs says. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. And so what he says here is that fools are angry. They're full of rage. They're hotheads. And this can happen in multiple different ways. You know, one is physically. And I'm not just talking about physically abusing somebody. There's ways in which we can demonstrate anger in a physical way. Let me give you one for the male and one for the female, all right? One for the male is, I will withhold the finances. I will just tighten the purse strings. No, you're not getting your hair cut. No, you're not going to buy a new dress. No, you're not. And really what it is, see, anger is a way that we control people. Are you all okay on that one? Anger is basically a way in which we intimidate people and we try to control people. And so however angry I have to get to control you, I will. That's why he says here, a fool gives full vent to their rage. And so for a man, it usually has to do with finances. For a woman, it has to do with sex. I'll just withhold my body from you. Suffer, boy. Suffer. you're going to pay dearly because I'm angry at you. I'm mad at you. But y'all still love me? See, that's a fool. And so what happens is we can express our anger through physical ways like that. We can express it through verbal, okay? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me is not true. See, the words that you speak into my life or the words that I speak into your life are going to stay there way after I'm gone. Can anybody identify with that? I mean, all of us here have heard words consistently over and over in our life from people who are no longer a part of our life, and they hurt. How about this one right here? Fools create chaos and strife. Fools create chaos and strife. They're always creating disorder, and chaos always follows them. It always swirls around them. And part of the chaos is because they're almost like double personalities. Can be charming, and then the next moment, they're not. And you're thinking, wait a second here. You just told me half an hour ago that you love me. Half an hour ago, we were just laughing. Half an hour ago, we were just having fun. And so what happens is fools create chaos and strife. Here's what Solomon has to say. Fools' words get them into constant quarrels. Constant quarrels. So what happens is if you find yourself in constant conflict and chaos, it could be that you're acting like a fool. And you're bringing it on yourself. Let's look at this next one. Fools destroy. Fools destroy. They do. They destroy. Have you ever seen somebody destroy something in their house that they haven't paid off yet? Huh? Isn't that foolish? And they're on a budget. They just destroy things because they're angry. They're mad. They got this explosion there. And what happens is they not only can destroy physical things, but they can destroy relationships. Has a way of doing it. Destroy ourselves. Proverbs 13:20 says it like this. Walk with the wise and become wise. That's a promise, but here's a warning. For a companion of fools suffers harm. It doesn't say might suffer. It says will. And so what happens is if I'm hanging out with a bunch of fools, guarantee it, I'm going to be destroyed. And probably the things that I love the most are going to be destroyed. And so I have to realize that fools destroy. And if I have a companion of fools, I'm ultimately going to suffer harm. I'm going to suffer harm. How about this one right here? Fools spread slander. They spread slander. And here's how they do it is they assault other people. They gossip about other people. They slander other people. The innuendos of life, okay, which is basically passive aggressiveness. By the way, let me tell you, can I give you a good word picture you'll never forget of passive aggressiveness? It's when your dog jumps on your lap and licks you in the face while they're urinating all over you. That's passive aggressive. Okay? And fools do that. And they do that through spreading slander. Look at what Proverbs has to say. Okay? Hiding hatred makes you a liar. So what happens is you say to somebody, are we okay? Yeah, we're okay. We're fine. We're good. We're cool. Yeah, yeah. But look what it says. Slandering others make you a fool. So what happens is I'm not willing to deal with the issue with the person that I have. And when they confront me, whether it's my husband, my wife, my son, my daughter, my mom, my dad, what happens is, are you angry? Are you? No, I'm not. I'm not. And then what happens is I leave there and I go and talk about you. And that's what fools do. How about this one right here? Fools are exhausting. And this is exhausting, isn't it? Huh? You're thinking, whoo, okay? But fools are exhausting. Because they keep coming back over and over. You can't shake them. It's like a bad rash. They just keep coming back over and over and over and over and over and over again. Let's look at what Solomon has to say. Stone is heavy and sand a burden, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Wow. A fool's provocation. What is that? Well, let me give you a different definition here. Action or speech that makes somebody annoyed or angry, check this out, especially deliberately. And if you have a fool in your life and they're deliberately agitating you and annoying you, they're exhausting. You just say, I need a break. I gotta get away. I gotta get away. Let me give you this last one. Here it is. Fools enjoy their foolishness. They enjoy it. They think it's funny. They think it's funny because, you know what, they don't suffer the consequences. Because people in their life allow them to act like fools. Proverbs tells us something different. It says, a fool finds pleasure in the wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights in wisdom. Delights in wisdom. And so a fool finds pleasure in their foolishness, even though it hurts other people, even though it damages other people, even though it destroys other people. But he says here, a wise person, okay, delights in understanding. They want to understand the situation so they can address it appropriately. Now, as I've taken you through that, you might say, well, Dwight, is there any hope? Is there any hope for me? Is there any hope for us? Yes. And what I want to do is I want to share with you three things that I believe in light of whoever the fool is in your life, and it might be you. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. There's hope for us. So let me give them to you. Here's the first thing. You got to go to God for wisdom. You have to go to God for wisdom. And you ask God to show you the reality of the situation with your fool. God, I really want to know the reality of this relationship. Take away the blinders. Take away the deceptions. Take away the lies. Take away everything. I want to know. I want to know. And so here's what James has to say to you and I. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, go to God, who gives it what? Generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to you. So the first step that we need to do is we need to go to God for wisdom. God, I need wisdom in dealing with this person in my life. I need wisdom with dealing with my boss. I need wisdom in dealing with my coworker. I need wisdom in dealing with my dad, whoever it is. I need wisdom. But James goes on to say this, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Wow, the word doubt there means divided loyalties. How do you get a divided loyalty with God? Because you think that you're just as wise as God is. You're asking me to do what, God? Oh, man, if I do that, all hell's going to break out. I think that's too strong. And so what happens is you begin to doubt, and guess what? You're like the waves. You're so inconsistent. And so your fool just thinks that you're a person with hot air, because you think that God's wisdom is like human advice or worldly advice, but it's not. He goes on to say this. He says, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all their ways. Wow. So what is he saying here? He is saying that if you and I don't go to God and say, God, I want your wisdom and I'm ready to follow it 100%, that what happens is you and I, okay, will begin to think that God doesn't want to help us. You might be in a marriage, you might be in a relationship, something might be going on, and you're saying, God, I don't know why you won't do something, and he has said to you and me, I've given you wisdom, and you haven't acted on it. And so you're receiving nothing. It's not changing. Because you're not doing what I'm asking you to do. You're trusting in yourself like a fool. You're double-minded, and you're unstable in all your ways. You think that you're going crazy. because you don't know what to do. And so the first thing that we got to do is we got to go to God for wisdom. Here's the second thing. Determine that your fool is God's to deal with. Determine that your fool is God's to deal with. And this is so important. So important. And that means that what happens is you entrust them to God. And listen to me very carefully, mom and dad. You let the consequences fall. Better to be embarrassed for a day or a week than to raise a fool. I've told all of our kids, you ever get caught DWI and you're in jail, I'm not coming. I'll send you a postcard. I'm not bailing you out, and I don't care who knows. See, what happens is you have to have the ability to let God do whatever he wants to in that person's life. You can't continue to rescue them. Because when you continue to rescue a fool, you will continue to do that all of your life. And some of us as parents, we're rescuing fools who are 40 years old. You know why? Because they haven't learned from their consequences. Because dad or mom is constantly bailing them out. And so you have to determine, I have to determine, that your fool is God's to deal with. Here's what Proverbs would say. The way of the transgressor is hard. Wow. The way of the transgressor is hard. You see, what happens is, if I don't line up with God, life's going to be really hard. I'm going to suffer consequences. It's going to be painful. It's going to be tough. Now, do you stop loving them? No. You still love them. But what happens is we have a messed up definition of what love is. We think that love means I'm going to bail you out all the time. No, love is I'm going to continue to love you, and you're going to continue to be my son, and you're going to continue to be my daughter, and you're going to continue to be whatever to me. I'm going to love you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm just going to allow you to suffer the consequences. I've given you to God. I've given our marriage to God. I'm not going to call up and tell the people at work that you're sick when you're drunk. I'm not going to lie for you anymore. Yours, you're God's. And you know what? If you don't align yourself with God, honey, you know what? It's going to be pretty hard. It's going to be pretty hard. C.S. Lewis would say it like this. There are two kinds of people. Those who says to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says, all right, then have it your way. Wow. You know what? I've shared with our kids over and over again. The day that you believe that God is smarter than you is going to be a great day in your life. And that's when you and I begin to say, God, I want your will to be done. I want your will. I don't want my will. My will is going to lead me down a very, very hard and difficult life. And I don't want that. I don't want that. Here's the third thing, and that is this. You concentrate on what you can do. Concentrate on what you can do. This is so important. Let me give you mental health 101. Mental health 101 is to control the controllable. When you say, I'm going crazy. I just had somebody tell me this past week. I'm going crazy. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to control everything in their life. That'll make you crazy. Because you're trying to be God. Matter of fact, that will wear you out. And mental health 101 is, hey, you want to have a sound mind? Just control what you can control. Concentrate on what you can personally do. And here's what happens. When we do that, we will experience three things, okay? The first thing that we will experience is peace. You'll be amazed at what will happen in your life when you will give up trying to control other people. You'll be at peace. you'll experience a peace that you've never have had. And it will be remarkable how life can change and how good life can be when you quit banging your head against the wall and start focusing on what you can control and not what you can't control. You'll experience peace because you'll experience the peace of God. Here's the second thing. You'll experience a clear mind. You'll experience a clear mind. A lot of the chaos, a lot of the confusion will begin to leave your mind. And you'll have a clear mind. And now you will really be able to discern and to be able to understand what God wants you to do and how He wants you to respond and how He wants you to relate. But you'll have a clear mind because you won't, listen, everything that grabs your attention does not deserve your attention. You ought to write that one down, by the way. Because there's a whole lot of stuff out there grabbing your attention. And you know what? It doesn't deserve your attention. So what happens is you end up experiencing a clear mind. Let me give you this last one. You experience energy. You experience energy. You know why? What did we just say? Fools are exhausting. They're draining. And you'll experience energy in your life, and you will be able to begin to do what God wants you to do. You'll begin to live the life that God has called you to live. Now, let me go back to this as we wrap up. Your goal cannot be to have the full change. You can't, because if you do, you won't have peace, you won't have a clear mind, and you won't have energy. You'll be worn out. Your goal must be to find the freedom that allows you to be the person God intended you to be. See, listen, here's what I tell our kids all the time. Nobody can ruin your life. No one. Not even the fool. Frustrate you, hurt you, hinder you, sure. Stop you, not a chance. And your journey, okay, your journey is really about you and all God wants to accomplish in your life. That's what it's about. That's what your journey is about. Your journey isn't about changing the fool. Your journey is about being the man, the woman, the person that God wants you to be and allowing him to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in your life. Jeremiah says it like this. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me and I will listen to you." Now listen to this last part. "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." With all of your heart. That's the key. Talent won't change you. Talent won't change the fool. Intelligence won't change you. It won't change the fool. Beauty won't change your situation. Wealth won't change your situation. The only thing that's going to change your situation or my situation is to be honest before God and to seek Him with all of our heart and then surrender to Him. That's the key. And God gives you and God gives me that invitation. And today I want to give it to you. Would you pray with me? Maybe today you've never entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to do that. You can pray a simple, life-changing prayer and just say, "God, as much as I know how and as much as I understand, I invite you into my life. I ask you to forgive me for being a fool. I ask you to forgive me for all the people that I've hurt and that I've done damage to. Help me to make it right with them. Fill me with your spirit and help me to trust you with all of my heart. Maybe you've already done that, but maybe today your step is, God, I want to seek you with all of my heart because I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. And just say, God, I need wisdom in this relationship. I don't want it to destroy me. I don't want it to discourage me. I don't want it to defeat me. I want to have your perspective, your wisdom on this. Help me to do so, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.